Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome, welcome. Today's show is going to be about the relationship aha. It's going to be about looking at breakdowns and breakups and breakthroughs that you can have and make in your relationships. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show. But before we do, I wanted to begin by just explaining what exactly a relationship aha is. So there are three steps in a relationship aha. And if you've got a pen and paper, you might want to write this down. You can also do it in your head. Because each one of these steps is one of the three crucial things that will let you not only diagnose the cause of any relationship problems you might be having, but it's also going to tell you what you might need to do to begin to turn it around. So you can use this to heal toxic relationships, but you can also use the same process to make your good relationships even better. So here's what you need to do to give yourself a relationship aha. And the first thing is just choose a relationship which you'd like to enhance. So this could be a relationship with a significant other or an insignificant other, or it could even be a relationship with an inanimate object, like your relationship with money or your relationship to time. But for starters, it's probably best to start with an actual physical human person and just jot their name down at the top of a piece of paper. Or if you're doing it in your head, you can just keep them in mind. And then write down the letters A-H-A, so the aha, in a column. So A on the top, then underneath that A and H, and then underneath that H and A. And next to each letter, give yourself a score from 1 to 10 for the relationship that you're exploring. So, for example, I better tell you what the letters are, hadn't I? So the first A is for attention. So a lot of relationships can fall apart just because they're not being attended to. There's an old Hawaiian saying that you can have anything that you want in life, but you do have to pay attention. And what you don't pay for with attention, you tend to pay for with pain. So that first A is for attention. On a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is you attend fully to this relationship, and a 1 would be you barely even notice the person that you're in relationship with. You barely think about them except when they're right in front of you, and even then sometimes not. That would be a 1. Then the H is for honesty. How honest are you with this person in this relationship? And the simple measure for how honest you are is how surprised would they be if they knew what you were thinking? So in other words, you know, a lot of people that I work with have had the experience of thinking, God, if this person ever really meets me, they're going to be shocked. Because the life that you live in your head, what Stephen Covey sometimes calls your secret life, is so different from that life outside your head that, you know, there's this huge gap. So how honest are you with this other person on a scale from 1 to 10? Again, 10 is completely honest. You speak your mind, you speak your subtext, they know exactly what's going on with you. And a 1 would be, boy, they have no idea who I am. And then the third A, so it's A-H-A, the third one is for acceptance. So sometimes we can pay really detailed attention to another person, and we're extremely honest with them, and the relationship still isn't working. And when that happens, it's usually because what we're paying attention to and being honest about are all our judgments about all the things that are wrong with them. So give yourself, again, a score from 1 to 10. And in this case, 10 is you're completely accepting of them. If they never changed, that would be perfectly okay with you. And a 1 would be that if you could change everything about them, from the way they said good morning in the morning to the way that they combed their hair to whatever else you can imagine, you'd love it if they'd change it. And those are that's your third A. And then add up your score. So you're gonna have a score something between 3 and 30. And it's pretty easy to see why your relationship is the way it is when you look at that score. Because let's face it, if your score comes in somewhere between 25 and 30, you probably have a great relationship, and you know you've got a great relationship. That's not a surprise to you to find that out. If your score is between 20 and 25, you probably have a very good relationship, but there's just a few things that aren't quite right, and they're fine, and if they never changed, it would be okay, but there's just a slight sense that, you know what, maybe there's something that we could do about this. Then, if your score is between 15 and 20, chances are you've got a pretty good relationship that's either on its way to getting better or on its way to getting worse. In other words, you have conflicts, and you maybe even have very regular or continual conflicts, but they do resolve. And you can generally get past them, but there are niggles. There are these little things that are harder to let go of within the relationship. If your relationship's between 10 and 15 on that scale, chances are you're struggling within this relationship. It's not a positive experience for you. It's not going well. It's not something that you're enjoying or having a good experience of. And then finally, if you've got a score below 10, you probably already know the relationship's probably not working. Now, the reason that I like the relationship aha so much as a tool is because each one of the three things in the aha, the attention, your honesty, and your acceptance, are things that are entirely within your control. In other words, it's up to you how much attention you pay to another person or to a relationship. No one can stop you from attending to them. No one can stop you from attending to a relationship. So regardless of what the other person wants to do and what the other person's doing, you can still give them 100% of your attention whenever you're with them, and you can also attend to the relationship when you're not with them. So that's completely within your control. By the way, if you want to phone in and speak about your relationships, and again, we're going to be talking about breakdowns and breakups and breakthroughs, the number's to call 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, it's 001-858-623-0102. Now, the second thing that we were talking about is honesty. And again, what's great about honesty is completely within your control. In other words, nobody can make you be more or less honest than you choose to be within a relationship. Now, the thing is, every time you hold back from telling the truth in a relationship, you're putting in place what I sometimes call the bricks of silence. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting down a bit of a patio between you and somebody else, but if you've laid enough bricks, you're going to start to find that there's a wall between you and the other person. And the great thing is, you don't have to necessarily tell everything for the wall to come tumbling down. In the same way that if you remove one or two significant bricks, in this case, by telling the truth within the relationship, the whole wall can come tumbling down quite easily. And again, the third thing, acceptance, is completely within your control. In other words, however much you accept another person, however much you feel you must change them or you have to change them or you want to change them, those are things that are, again, within your control. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but it is completely within your control. So, as we go through the show, I'm going to be talking about a lot of other ideas that you can use in your relationships, but also I'd like you to go ahead and do this for yourself. If you haven't done it yet, just think of a key relationship. Give yourself a score for, you know, okay, what's the quality of attention that I pay to this other person and to the relationship? How honest am I in this relationship, and how accepting am I? And, of course, the opposite of how accepting am I is how judgmental am I? In other words, how much am I working on trying to change them and trying to fix them? Now, one of the reasons that it's so important that these things are all within your control is because very often in a relationship, people think that if there's a problem, they can't do anything about it themselves. In other words, if the other person doesn't want to change, I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do? But there are always things that you can do. Again, the number's to phone if you want to call in and speak with us later in the show. 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, 001-858-623-0102. Byron Katie has a great expression. She says, I can find only three kinds of business in the universe. Mine, yours, and God's. For me, the word God means reality. Reality is God because it rules. Anything that's out of my control, your control, and everyone else's control, I call that God's business. So the way that I think about minding your own business in a relationship is if you imagine that there's a row of shops and each one of them is owned by one of the significant people in your life. Well, how much of your time do you spend in their shops trying them to get them to change their store policy or change their inventory or even the way they stock their display shelves? Imagine if you worked for, say, Pizza Hut and you went into a McDonald's and told them to start doing what you think would work best for you. Would you expect the people at the McDonald's to be really grateful and go along with whatever you said? Or might they have one or two problems with it? Now, also imagine what would happen to your own little franchise, your own little shop in that row of shops, if you kept abandoning it for long periods of times. Cobwebs would start to form in the corners, machinery might become rusty, the perishables would all perish, and who knows what would be stolen from your inventory while you were away. So it really is important, especially if that begins to sound a little bit like your life, to focus on those things within the relationship that are within your control. One of my favorite expressions about that is, it takes one to tango. So, you know, you may have noticed that no matter how much time you've spent trying to fix other people's lives and put the world to rights, nothing much changes and no one's suitably grateful. The thing is, that's because the kinds of things that we tend to get involved in our relationships are other people's business. So for the remainder of this show, we're going to focus on what you can do, what's within your control, what your business is. And we're going to leave other people's business up to them, and we're going to leave God's business up to God, however, whatever that means to you. Dan Millman used to say, the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, how would God manage if you decided to take the day off? So I'll be taking your calls for the rest of the show. The numbers to call are 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, you can phone in on 001-858-623-0102. You're listening to You Can Have What You Want. I'm Michael Neal.
You're listening to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
1, 2, 3, hit it!
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hello again. We have the lines filling up. We're going to be going to the phones in just a moment. If you want to get in to talk about relationship breakdowns, breakups, or breakthroughs, the numbers to call are 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, you can phone on 001-858-623-0102. And let's begin this segment with Julie in Atlanta. Julie, welcome to the show. What's your relationship question?
Hi. Me and my boyfriend have been off and on for the last 2 months. And even when we're off, we're like still together. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, how can I tell how committed he is to me?
Okay. So the first, it's always interesting when you're talking about relationships because, of course, the just curious part of me just wants to ask all sorts of questions about it. But in fact, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the story of the relationship actually isn't the most useful stuff to play with. So I'm going to try and ask questions that get right to the bits that you can do. And one of the things is, if we talk about those three kinds of business, that there's your business, the stuff that really is up and down to you, there's other people's business, in this case your boyfriend, and then there's God's business, the stuff that's really just going to happen or not happen, that's nothing to do with either of you. How committed your boyfriend is, which ones of those kinds of business is it?
That's his.
Yeah, I know, and it's a bummer. But here's my question for you. How committed are you?
I am. I'm 100% committed to him.
Okay.
And I always have been.
So there's an interesting thing. I remember when my wife and I went to a wedding once, and the minister made a distinction that I'd never heard before, which was that he described a wedding, the marriage, not as a contract, but as a covenant. And the difference is that a contract, both parties have a certain predetermined obligation. So if either party violates the letter or spirit of the contract, the contract's no longer binding, and both parties would be free to pursue other options. Whereas a covenant, the kind of commitment that you make in a covenant, it's actually a sacred agreement that you make with yourself and or your God, if you believe in God, and it's binding regardless of whether or not the other person decides to keep their half of the bargain. So if you're really 100% committed for now, and that's the important thing to remember about a commitment, is, you know, we talk about making a commitment for life. Unless you've really practiced your commitments, most people can't keep a New Year's resolution for a month and then are surprised that they have difficulty, you know, staying in a relationship for a year or 10 years or 100 years. So, you know, first off, cut yourself some slack. It's not that easy. But if you really are 100% committed, that's actually the only relevant bit of information except for what do you want within the relationship? So what do you want in this relationship?
I want to feel like, I don't feel like we're together. Like, we're together, but he can't make up his mind if he wants to be with me or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him to make up his mind.
Okay. And that's a wonderful thing to want. And in the meantime, if he, for whatever reasons, whether it's fear or uncertainty or whatever it would be. So, Julie, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. We got bumped off the air, but I'm going to assume that everything happens for a reason. So what came up for you just in that little break? What thoughts came up?
Well, it's his business. That it's something that he has to work out himself, and I don't think I have any control in it.
And you know what the wonderful thing is? You're right.
Well,
you're really right. It's one of those interesting things. You know, we fear not having control, but when you really embrace not having the control you don't have, it can be quite a wonderful thing. In other words, when you're stuck in traffic, if you know you're absolutely stuck, there's really nothing you can do, then you can just let go. And there's a very specific exercise I want to give you. And it's something that you can do. And it's something you can do. And really, if you're listening, you can do this at home with anyone that you want to see make positive changes in their life and begin to experience themselves as more capable and more able to make a difference in their lives and in the world. And it's a simple two-part process, Julie. What I want you to do, and you may do this already, but I want you to let him know that you love him unconditionally, that nothing he can do is going to make you love him any less, and nothing he can do will make you love him any more.
Okay.
And then if he chooses to discuss his problems or his difficulties or his business problems or his commitment issues, I want you to resist helping him. So
okay.
That means resist offering him advice, motivating him, empowering him. But what I want you to do instead is I want you to choose to see him as powerful, capable, and able.
Okay.
So if you like, you can actually highlight the choices that he's making and going, you know what, if you want to choose to put the energy into the business right now, that's your choice. I love you no matter what. If you keep choosing that, then I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm committed to being with you. I love you absolutely no matter what. And I recognize you're making choices. And it might feel awkward at first. But
right.
You're going to be amazed at how quickly someone changes all by themselves, in quotes, when you actually treat them like just a person who's completely capable of making their own choices and who's completely loved whatever choice they make. Does that make sense?
It really does. I've never thought of it like that before.
Fantastic. So if you can, go ahead and we've got these message boards on geniuscatalyst.com, a forum board. And if you go to the radio board, I'd love it if you tell me how things are going and we can keep in touch that way as well.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for phoning in. Let's go to Veronica in Ontario.
Hi.
Hey, hi. Veronica, what's your relationship question?
Well, mine's kind of like the last caller, but it's a little bit different because my husband's addicted to drugs, and I don't know if I should keep continuing to, I don't know, like expect a miracle and him have him heal from this, or if I should just keep moving forward.
Well, there's a really interesting assumption behind that question,
mm-hmm.
which is that there's a right answer.
Okay.
And the first thing to know is there really isn't.
There isn't a right answer?
There's not a right answer in a sort of a cosmic sense.
Right.
And that hopefully will take some of the pressure off you to get it right.
Right.
You know, have you ever seen, this is going to sound really random, but I hope it'll all make sense by the time I'm done. Have you ever seen, we used to do it as kids, you'd take a piece of blank paper and you'd fold it up lengthwise into something that could be like a bow tie.
Uh-huh.
You'd put it over your mouth like a mustache and go, you must pay the rent. But I can't pay the rent. You must pay the rent. But I can't pay the rent. I'll pay the rent. My hero. Curse is spoiled again. You ever seen that one?
No.
Okay. Well, it's an old melodrama.
Okay.
But within any relationship, each one of us tends to gravitate towards, and this is something that the Hendricks talk about a lot if you've ever listened to their show, Spirit Centered Relationships, about to the villain role, the hero role, or the damsel in distress, the victim.
Uh-huh.
Within the relationship, where do you tend to hang out?
What were the three choices?
Well, you can be the villain, you can be the hero, the rescuer,
uh-huh.
or you can be the victim, the damsel in distress.
I think sometimes the hero and sometimes the victim.
Okay. And it's fine. And know that, you know, almost everybody, until they sort of really get clear
mm-hmm.
and really connect to their own strength in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
tends to not only gravitate towards one of those roles, and there's often a race to get to play victim.
Right.
But also, you have to then cast the other person into one of the other roles to keep the drama going.
Right.
And if you, again, take that basic idea that separating out what's your business, what's
uh-huh.
their business,
uh-huh.
what's God's business,
uh-huh.
then really the only question is, again, what do you really want to do for now? So what I want you to do before you answer that, And we're coming up on a break, so I'm going to ask you to do this during the break. And can you stay with me over the break?
Sure, no
And then
problem.
Also, I know there's some people on hold, and we'll get to you after the break.
Okay.
Is
no
I want
problem.
You to go to your heart.
Okay.
And I want you to just really tune into your heart, breathe into it. You can put your hand on it. I want you to smile into your heart until you can start to feel some good feeling. And when you're really in touch with that good feeling inside yourself, I want you to ask your heart what you most want to do in this situation for now. And I'll come back with you after the break. If you want to get in and talk to us about your relationships, the numbers to call are 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, 001-858-623-0102. You're listening to You Can Have What You Want. I'm Michael Mill.
You're listening to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
One, two, three, hit it!
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Okay, we're speaking with Veronica just before Veronica comes back on. If you want to get in to talk about your relationship breakdowns, breakups, or breakthroughs, the number's to call 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, 001-858-623-0102. You can also find out more about me and what I do on my website at geniuscatalyst.com. And starting in April, you'll be able to read all about it in my book, Hay House is bringing out in April. You can have what you want. So, Veronica.
Yes.
What did your heart have to tell you during the break?
Can you repeat the question?
Absolutely.
I mean, I did tune into my heart, and my heart was telling me, and my heart was feeling or telling me that to be there for him.
Okay.
You know.
Now, when you say it like that, does that thought feel like, God, okay, or do you feel a sense of almost relief?
Because
I got to be honest, I hear a little bit of the bloody
iffy.
Hell, all right.
A little iffy. I guess I do feel a little like not too sure.
Okay. So you know that's a feeling to begin to pay attention to.
Okay.
And again, that's not telling you what to do,
right?
Because nobody knows.
Right.
But it is telling you that you know.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Veronica.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, let's go to Layla in Fort Lauderdale. Layla, what is your relationship question?
My relationship question has to deal with living with my partner and working out our financial differences, completely different approaches to how we handle money.
I'm shocked. I've never heard of a couple having financial
difficulties. Never, ever. It's
That's
amazing.
Extraordinary. Actually, sadly, it's the number
it's the
one.
First. I almost went through listening to everybody else. I went through the various things you suggested and came to the point to, well, what do I want to do right now? And went into my heart and kind of got the answer. But besides that.
Well, that's fantastic. What did your heart say?
My heart said to just be with it right now. And when I allowed it to be, to just be okay,
mm-hmm.
I did see that he's improving and he has made progress. I'm impatient with that and have different expectations.
Do you know what? There's two stories I want to tell you.
Okay.
Okay, and the first one is again, going to seem a little random. The second one's going to directly, I'm going to give you my best strategy for dealing with finances within a relationship.
Okay.
Okay, but you're going to have to put up with the first story first.
No problem.
This is my theory about why a soulmate is like a ski boot.
Okay.
Okay. So when we were kids, we were skiers. Now you're in Fort Lauderdale, so you probably don't ski.
Well, I've lived all over.
Okay, you've lived all over. So the best ski boots that you could get when I was a kid were called PKs, Peter Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
And what you would do is you would pick out a shell that you liked that was about the right size for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you would put these little baggies on your feet that were like little foot condoms, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
And you would have to stand in the shell, and they would pour this goop onto your foot inside the shell.
Mm-hmm.
And you just had to stand there while the goop formed to your foot. And what happened is, after you'd stood there long enough, you had these perfectly formed ski boots, the most comfortable, more comfortable than any boots you could have bought off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
My experience of the relationships that I've seen that really last over time are that they're very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
They started out good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then by just standing in the relationship, by committing, by making that covenant, by staying in the relationship, it began to form. And it really is one of those interesting things where if you try to change somebody, mm-hmm. you've probably noticed they'll fight you like hell.
Oh, yeah.
But if you just stand in the relationship, mm-hmm. they'll begin to change.
That's what I'm learning how to do.
Absolutely. So here's a way of, with money, it's best to just get it out so that it's not in your head and it's not in his head.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that, again, try it out. My experience is it works fantastic in couples.
Okay.
And what you do is you're going to make a list, and you can ask him to make the list, his own list separately, or do it with you. You'll get together later, but it's sometimes interesting if you do it separately. Of everything that you can imagine spending money on in the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
So it's going to be a long list. You don't have to write down, like, I'm going to go buy some soap for
no,
groceries.
Thing.
But any significant purchase, whatever significant means to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're going to go through and just make that list. And then you're going to take a piece of paper, and you're going to draw a line, vertical line down the middle. And you're going to create two rows and two columns. In fact, let's see, how are we going to do this? We're going to have two columns, so that's one vertical line down the middle. In fact, why don't you give yourself 4 rows?
Okay.
Okay?
Four columns?
4 rows, 2 columns.
Okay.
Okay, so the top row is going to be A. You're going to put down, like, the letter A, mm-hmm. and that's going to be bad things happen if I don't.
Mm.
So this is like a spending priority chart.
Okay.
B, which is going to be the second row, is good things happen if I do.
Okay.
So not necessarily anything bad's going to happen if I don't spend money on this, but good things are going to happen if I do.
Okay.
C is, that'd be nice. So it'd be fun. Nothing particularly bad's going to happen if you don't. Nothing particularly great's going to happen if you do, but it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 is, I'm going to regret this later. So that would be
if
D.
If you buy it.
Yeah, that would be the D column, the
okay.
final row. And then the first column, the left-hand column,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be within a year, and the right-hand column is going to be more than a year.
Okay.
And what you do is when you've got your lists, and you can decide at what point you come together on this, you fill in everything on that list so it fits into one of those 8 boxes.
Okay.
And what you're going to find is prioritizing your finances is going to get a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be able to see in black and white if there are any fundamental differences in how you're thinking about spending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extraordinary. Once you get it out of your head and onto paper, and that's like a general rule with money anyways,
right?
It's amazing how much easier it is to talk about because it stops being personal.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you'll learn a heck of a lot about him, and he'll learn a heck of a lot about you just by seeing how you've prioritized things.
Well, that's part of the problem. I work like that. I do prioritize, put things down on paper, make the plan, talk about. His is completely opposite. Be in the moment. Impulse buying, impulse spending, yeah, there is no plan.
Mm-hmm. And this is about as loose a plan as you can get, because this isn't a plan in the sense that it doesn't tell you what to do,
right,
and it doesn't tell you when to do it. It just lets you be more aware as you do whatever you do.
Right.
One of my favorite stories is about William Penn, the guy who actually founded Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a Quaker, but he was a nobleman, and as a nobleman he had to wear a sword. That was just what you did,
mm-hmm.
Both for your own protection and because that's what a gentleman did. But as a Quaker, he was supposed to be nonviolent and not carry a weapon. And he went to a Quaker elder to sort of help him sort out this spiritual dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And the elder said, wear your sword with full awareness for as long as you possibly can. And when you can't wear it anymore, stop. And really, the main thing here is not to try and give somebody who doesn't like having rules rules,
right,
but to simply do things that will help heighten the awareness. And
okay.
this will work for you, too. You'll find yourself much more aware of the choices that you're making around money,
uh-huh.
and so will he. And again, that doesn't mean necessarily, oh, everything's going to be perfect and smooth after that.
Right.
But it just gives you a framework mm-hmm. so that you're not telling him the right way to do it, and he's not telling you the right way to do it. So you start to mind your own business
mm-hmm.
instead of minding each other's.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It's a new plan, so a plan. It's an idea. It sounds like fun. So.
Okay, so take it on in the spirit of an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than think this has to work, this has to sort it out, play with it.
Right.
And just notice what you notice. And again, come on the radio boards, geniuscatalyst.com. go ahead and put in. We've got a lot of people there, a lot of great coaches, a lot of people who've got great ideas, and they can also throw other things into the mix, and you can just share your ideas and what you're learning.
Oh, great. Sounds
fantastic.
Good.
Thank you very much for
phoning
in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. If you want to get in before the end of the show, the numbers to phone are 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, 001-858-623-0102. Let's start with Marie. Marie in Atlanta. Why don't you go ahead and give me your relationship question, and then we're going to have to hold you on over the break so that we can talk about it when we come back.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, Michael. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
And you just talked to this woman and saying, like, oh, if you don't want to change, you stay in the relationship long enough and don't try to change the other person, and they will change by themselves. I tried that, but it didn't work. So now it ended up in a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband, I discovered last month that my husband, well, he was still married with me, got married with someone else. So he committed bigamy. Now I'm torn between, I did my divorce paper, now I'm torn between vengeance, you know, and
mm-hmm.
then how to keep peace and my balance and, you know, try to put spiritually.
That's fantastic. So, Marie, what I want you to do during the break, same thing they've probably heard me ask other people to do, is I just want you to take some time in the break to just tune into your heart. You don't even have to ask yourself anything. But just say, take some time to just tune into that love energy inside you. And just, we'll come back and we'll talk all about that after the break. Okay? And for those of you listening at home, you're listening to You Can Have What You Want. I'm Michael Neal.
You're listening to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul. Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hello, welcome. The numbers to call if you want to get in, talk about your relationship breakdowns, breakups, and breakthroughs are 1-866-903-TALK. That's 1-866-903-8255. Or from outside the United States, 001-858-623-0102. You can also check me out at geniuscatalyst.com. We do a free newsletter and we have online forums, including a special radio forum for people who listen to the show. And we are chatting with Marie in Atlanta. And Marie was talking about a choice that she's got to make between sort of vengeance on a bigamist husband and essentially maintaining some sort of spiritual peace for herself. Do I have that right, Marie?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so just for you right now,
mm-hmm.
what do you most want for you?
I know for me, I want to move forward and have a new life. But like the thing that's really torn, tears my heart, is now is that he's going to get away easily with it, you know? And like I understand that if I want this, I need to change the feeling of anger and betrayal into unconditional love, but it's very tough to do because my heart is in pain. That's what I can feel right now, and that anger and betrayal. And but I know that to move, everybody tells me that to move forward, I need to change that into unconditional love and even send him like feelings of love instead of, you know, like I need to monitor my thoughts and send, you know, to find even the forgiveness, you know, to have the courage to forgive.
Do you know, I think those are wonderful sentiments. And my experience is that it's a little bit like asking somebody who's just learning how to play the piano to play a Rachmaninoff concerto.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful notion to unconditionally love our fellow man and woman.
Uh-huh.
And unless we've been really practicing that and are really good at it, we're going to find it hard enough to unconditionally love our cat, let alone the guy who we just found out has been married to somebody else while they're married to us.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I would say is be kind to yourself and recognize that what you're taking on, if you do choose to go the unconditional love route, and I'll join the voices. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Know that it might not be easy for you, and that's okay, and that every effort will pay off. The other thing is to basically, first thing, look at the difference between care and overcare. This is a distinction that comes from a guy named Doc Lou Childrey, who wrote a book called The Heart Math Solution. And care is when you are genuinely interested, genuinely concerned about something or someone. Overcare is when you begin taking everything that doesn't go the way you'd like it to go as a personal attack. Mm-hmm. And when you get caught in that cycle, it's actually like being addicted to a drug, because you get caught in these endless loops of inner arguments, and you have the argument with the version of him that lives in your head, mm-hmm. and that releases a bunch of adrenaline, and that mm-hmm. fuels that feeling of anger, and then of course you wind it up even more by having that argument again, or seeing something, or thinking a thought. Like, I don't know if you have a trigger thought, but it's like, I know when my dad died, and I felt like I really needed to be sad, mm-hmm. and if I felt I wasn't able to get sad enough, I would think about, he never got to see me succeed. And that would get me every time. And people tend to have that with anger as well. It's like, if you're beginning to start to feel peaceful, you've got this one thought that you know you can go to that will really get you revved up again. Do you have one of those?
Yes, that's the thing that, like, I'm saying, my frustration right now is, like, oh, God, he's going to get away with it. Because
okay, great. He's going to, yeah, you've said that a few times. He's going to get away with it.
Yes.
And what I, again, that's just a thought. You know, Sartre once said, hell is other people. Well, the secret to overcoming seeing other hell is other people is just to recognize that the problem's in the seeing. Because whatever problem you're having with another person mm-hmm. is always, and I do mean always, going to be the result of some combination of one of these two things. Either that person is unhappy in themselves and doing the best they can, no matter how incompetent it is, to take care of themselves by projecting their problems onto you. Or there's some unhappiness in you, and you're doing the best you can to take care of yourself by projecting that problem onto them. And again, you can only deal with your business. You can only work on your part. And if what you want is peace, and if what you want is to move on, that's all you need. And just recognize, some days it's going to be easier than others. But if you just maintain that awareness, mm-hmm. do you know what? Instead of this, I can choose peace. You won't always choose it, but as long as you're aware that it's a choice, you're going to find it gets easier and easier and easier.
Yeah, I know. I know it's hard, and that's the choice I have to make right now. And I have all, I can, you know, I already even find lawyers for, I mean, I have a lawyer to do the divorce and all of that, but I also, I found a lawyer because he got married in Mexico. I have even a lawyer who speaks English in Mexico.
So again, Murray, you're starting to rev yourself back up?
I know.
It's okay. No, it's okay. But just notice it. It's that same thing, that the more aware of it you are, mm-hmm. the more aware that you're the one now who's keeping the pain going.
Yes.
You're the one who makes the choice to go back to the pain. There are things that you're going to have to take care of. You take care of them.
Yeah, but
for yourself, each moment, do you still want to choose peace in this moment?
Yes.
So you just get to choose peace again. And you get to choose it again in the next moment. And you'll get to choose it again in the next moment.
But what do I do when I receive emails from him and blaming me and this and that, you know, and it never stops.
Well,
again,
that's his business. Okay. If he wants to send you emails, he can send you emails. You can't stop him. Or it's probably not worth the effort it would take to stop him. But what you can do is not use those emails to start up your spin cycle in your brain.
Okay.
And again, it's a moment-by-moment choice. And if I could reach through the radio right now and give you a hug, I would. Because I can feel how painful and hard it is. But it's a choice that I can guarantee you can make. If you can make it in one moment, you can make it in every moment.
Yes, that's what I found. It's like a struggle one moment at a time, because in one moment I can be very peaceful, in the other moment I can be like, all in cry.
Absolutely. And all you can do, moment by moment, what do you want to choose this moment? How do you want to be in this moment? How do you want to be in this moment?
Okay,
Marie. Please do call back, or you can go on the forums. Let me know how things go for you.
Okay.
And let's go to Michelle in L.A. Michelle, what's
Hi.
Your relationship question? Hello?
Hello?
Sorry.
Hi. my question is, I have a friend. I have a friendship with a man who is in another state, and I know that he has feelings for me, He's had them for quite a while, but I haven't actually gotten there yet, so I'm kind of like stressing the friendship right now. I'm not sure if I really want to go there, but I feel like I don't trust it because he's not open about it, and I don't know if I should not really push him, but maybe give him an open door to express his feelings more.
How do you close the door to him expressing his feelings now? It would seem to me if he wanted to express his feelings, he could do that regardless of what you did.
Well, it feels like because I stress our friendship. I always tell him I'm so glad that you're in my life, and I'm glad that you're a great friend, and I kind of like stress the word friend.
Okay, did you do the relationship aha at the beginning of the show with him?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
How did you score?
I got a 17.
Okay, and what were the section by section? So what did you get for attention, honesty, and acceptance?
I got a 6 for attention. I put a 4 for honesty and a 7 for acceptance.
Okay, so like I said at the beginning, that it's not only a diagnosis, it's also a quick cure.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, and if you want to find out where this relationship is going, and if you want it to possibly go anywhere, you're going to have to up the honesty.
Okay.
It's just that simple. Or you could, actually, you know what? You could up the acceptance, and you could just decide it's completely okay that he doesn't really know what's going on, and that he doesn't really express, and that you don't really know what he wants or what you want. That is another option, but that's actually harder than just choosing to be honest. And then again, it's that thing about allowing the other person to be someone who can make choices for themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make that choice for him. Once you're honest, it becomes his choice.
I see. Okay.
And then you're free, he's free, you're in your power, he's in his power. And what happens then is really God's business. But at least everyone's got the best possible chance to move forward.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. That makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of fear and honesty too. So.
Yeah, there is. And you know what? So what's the old expression? Feel the fear.
Yeah.
And do it anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for phoning in, Michelle.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I wanted to finish off this show with a little story. That I think really sums up the whole relationship notion. Once upon a time, many years ago from now, there were two travelers riding on a ferry. And one of them struck up a conversation with the ferryman and said, "What are the people like on the far side of the river?" And the ferryman looked at him and said, "Well, what are the people like where you come from?" And the traveler said, "They're horrible, selfish, mean." And the ferryman shook his head sadly and said, "I'm afraid you'll find the people on this side of the river are pretty much the same." And another person came up to the ferryman and said, "What are the people like on the far side of the river?" And the ferryman said, "What are the people like where you come from?" And the traveler said, "They're wonderful, kind, and supportive."
You're listening to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.